Chapter 8. The second year of our Lord's ministry in Galilee. The murder by execution of John the Baptist. The feeding of the 5,000. The fourth sign miracle of the Gospel of John. And Jesus walks upon the water, the fifth sign miracle. The time is October AD 31 to November AD 32. The account of the visit of our Lord Jesus Christ to Jerusalem in the autumn of AD 31, when, on the Day of Atonement, the 13th of October, he raised up the impotent man, is exclusively recorded in John's Gospel. As the Jews sought to kill him, our Lord must have left Jerusalem forthwith. The first verse of John chapter 7 opens with the confirmation of this fact. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Compare John 5:18. We may therefore rightly assume that the Lord returned to Galilee very shortly after the miracle of John chapter 5. This was the month of October. We can find no word to indicate that on this visit to the south he performed any other act. Having left Judea in the autumn of AD 30, our Lord evidently again felt the need to appear in Jerusalem in order to press home his messianic claims upon the Jewish authorities. This he did, as we have seen, in no uncertain way, after raising the impotent man on the Day of Atonement. On November the 4th, AD 31, 2 Bible years of 354 days had passed from the 26th of November, AD 29, when our Lord opened his ministry at the age of exactly 30 years. In Bible years, our Lord was therefore 32 years old on the 4th of November, AD 31, and 31 solar years and 6 days had elapsed since his birth on Friday the 29th of October, 1 BC. As we have already pointed out, it has not pleased God to allow the many events and discourses of our Lord's Galilean ministry to be dated. It is a fact that apart from the information given by John as to the time of the feeding of the 5,000, namely the Passover of AD 32, it is not possible to name a single date during the second year of our Lord's Galilean ministry, which began in the autumn of AD 31. We might wish to know when our Lord sent out the 12 to preach, but we are only told that they returned just before the feeding of the 5,000. We cannot say exactly when it was that John the Baptist sent his rather pathetic inquiry to Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Matthew 11, verse 3. We do know, however, that John was murdered by Herod shortly before the feeding of the 5,000, in the spring of AD 32, Matthew 14, verse 13. As we have already pointed out, the Gospels do not date our Lord's public actions or discourses, but they do date events in his personal pathway, and all who love him will rejoice to be able to trace in the Scriptures the pattern of time by which he walked here on earth. So now the feeding of the 5,000. See Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. Our Lord's fourth sign miracle of John's Gospel, the feeding of the 5,000, is the only one recorded in the other three Gospels. It is, in fact, the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels, and this gives to it an entirely unique importance. It is easy to discern from the Gospels, and notably from that of John, that this event took place in early May, AD 32. John names three Passovers. The first is in AD 30, see chapter 2, verse 13. The second is in AD 32, chapter 6, verse 4. And the third is that of AD 33, chapter 12, verse 1. He does not mention the Passover of AD 31, but, as we have already pointed out, the incident in the cornfield on the second first Sabbath, named in Luke 6, verse 1, is related to the Passover of that year. This proves that the Gospels account for the four Passovers of our Lord's ministry, namely AD 30, 31, 32, and 33, the last being the one at which our Lord laid down his life. The Passover of AD 32 was on the 12th of May, which is the very latest possible date, according to the series of lunisolar sabbatical years, which began in the Exodus. The Exodus Passover was on the 11th of May, 1639 BC, and the people of Israel commenced their journey out of Egypt on Friday, the 12th of May, which was the 15th day of the first month, which was then called Abib. See Numbers 33, verse 3. In John 6, verse 4, we read, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh," that is, it was at hand. From this we may conclude that the feeding of the 5,000 was on one of the early days of May AD 32, exactly 1 year before our Lord died and rose again. We learn from Matthew's Gospel that the day on which our Lord performed this sign miracle was tinged with deep sorrow. It was, in fact, on hearing that John the Baptist had been beheaded in prison by Herod that our Lord departed thence by ship into a desert place apart with his disciples. See Matthew 14, verses 12 and 13. Mark and Luke inform us that this corresponded in time with the return of the 12 apostles from their preaching tour, and Jesus invited them to join him for a season of rest after their arduous activities. See Mark 6, verse 31, and Luke 9, verse 10. It is very clear that instead of a season of quiet and rest, our Lord must have spent most of the day in healing and teaching. The multitude discovered where Jesus had gone and followed him. Mark records this, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Chapter 6, verse 34. Matthew adds, "And he healed their sick." Chapter 14, verse 14. It is characteristic that in each of the first three Gospels, it is recorded that the 12 apostles tendered the advice to the Lord that he should send the multitude away, as the day was now far spent, and the people had nothing to eat. How different was our Lord's attitude! They had come in search of him, the one by whom the worlds were created. He could not send them away without a practical expression of his compassion when it was in his power to meet their need. He therefore said to his disciples, "Give ye them to eat." John records this, "Jesus saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that they may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do." Philip replies by saying, 200 penny worth of bread would be inadequate. Then, as we know, a lad was found who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. These Jesus took, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. John 6, verses 5 to 11. This was an occasion when it could truly be said, "He hath filled the hungry with good things." In each account, we are informed that 12 baskets of fragments were taken up of that which remaineth over after this bounteous meal had been partaken of by our Lord's guests, who numbered 5,000 men, besides women and children. Luke informs us that the desert place belonged to Bethsaida, which was evidently near, and this accounts for the great numbers who came out in search of our Lord. There can be no doubt that the feeding of the 5,000 was a tremendous occasion, and that our Lord's miraculous powers were never seen in greater display, or indeed his compassion for the multitude. There was, however, a predictive element in this display of power, which extended far beyond the confines of its immediate setting. It is for this reason that the Apostle John is caused to insert it as one of the sign miracles of his gospel. In other words, this great event was prophetic of actions by our Lord at the end of the Christian dispensation. As we have said previously, all the sign miracles of John's gospel are to be fulfilled or have their antitypes in the brief era called the consummation of the age, which began after the 6,000 years of man and the 2,000 years of the Christian dispensation had terminated on the 12th of June 1933, as fully explained in our former treatise. In the first sign miracle of John 2, when our Lord turned the water into wine, we have predictive evidence that at the end of the age, the pure truth of Christianity is to be restored for a brief season, not only in abundant supply, but even of a better quality than at the beginning of the dispensation. Here in the fourth sign miracle of John chapter 6, we have a prediction that our Lord Jesus Christ is to be manifested at the end of the age as the bread of God, which came down from heaven, and that as such he will miraculously meet his people's needs at a time when spiritual hunger grips them, because, like those he fed in the desert near Bethsaida, they have nothing to eat. Furthermore, after abundantly meeting the needs of the church, which is his body, there will be enough remaining over for the believing remnant of the 12 tribes of Israel, which is to be sealed by the Holy Ghost after the church has departed to its heavenly home. See Revelation 7, 1-8. That is the meaning of the 12 baskets of fragments, and thus the church on its departure leaves a legacy to Israel. The feeding of the 5,000, like the first sign miracle of John 2, verse 11, and the second sign of John 4, 46, supposes the failure of this dispensation and the necessity of our Lord meeting the occasion by a display of his sovereign grace and power to bring about a recovery before he appears a second time. The hunger of the prodigal son and his return to the father's house where the fatted calf is killed, not to mention the jealousy of the elder son, Israel, is but another aspect of the church's brief recovery at the end of the age, through the sovereign grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And now the fifth sign miracle of John's Gospel. Jesus walking on the sea, a sign relating to Israel. See John chapter 6, verses 15 to 21. It has to be admitted that the eight signs of John's Gospel are clothed with considerable mystery, and that the interpretation of them must needs be but a faint marking of the reality which they pretend. This is particularly so in regard to the fifth sign miracle, which presents Jesus walking on the sea and coming to the 12 disciples in their ship during a storm which has arisen by reason of a great wind that blew. The feeding of the 5,000, as we have shown, denotes a coming act of our Lord Jesus Christ towards Christendom, a positive revelation of himself as the bread of life, which came down from heaven. The miracle itself created such an impression that the people proposed to come and take him by force to make him a king. His response to this impulsive desire was to withdraw again into a mountain himself alone. In the meanwhile, his 12 disciples had entered into a ship, and they went over the sea towards Capernaum. Darkness came on, and with it the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. The record continues, "So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." It is perfectly clear that the 12 disciples in the ship, like the 12 baskets of fragments, typify that section of the 12 tribes of Israel referred to in Revelation chapter 7. Who come to believe in Jesus after the church, which is Christ's body, has ascended up to its heavenly home at the second appearing of our Lord, when the Christian dispensation finally ends. As we have fully explained in our former treatise, our Lord Jesus Christ at his second appearing is coming down from heaven to be with the church on the earth for 9 days. The period which, together with the 40 days after his resurrection, completes the 49 days to Pentecost, when he will summon her to meet him in the air. See 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. It is clear that the antitype of the feeding of the 5,000 is an act which prepares his church for his return, and for her departure with him to his Father's house. The parable of the 10 virgins informs us that when he is about to return as the bridegroom, the whole of Christendom, which the 10 virgins represent, rises to trim its lamps. It seems that when our Lord returns for his church, the world will desire then and there to make him king, but he will not have come for that purpose. Therefore, his act in going up into a mountain appears to signify his return to heaven with the church, which is his body, prior to the opening of the 7 years of the apocalyptic era. The storm that overtook the 12 disciples, when the sea arose by reason of a great wind, clearly speaks of the wars and rumours of wars which beset mankind in these 7 years. At that time, this faithful remnant of the 12 tribes of Israel will become the object of a diabolical persecution. See Revelation 12, chapter 13. But at a given point of time, their Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, will appear for their relief, his walking on the sea, denoting his dominance over the nations and his power to protect his people Israel from being overwhelmed by the untold calamities of the apocalyptic era. The link between the two sign miracles of John chapter 6 is to be clearly seen in the fact that which is represented typically by the food with which our Lord fed the 5,000 avails first for his church as a preparation for his second appearing, and then, in the 12 baskets of fragments, as that which sustains faithful Israel during the apocalyptic era, which precedes his third appearing, when he comes to save them from destruction and to set up his kingdom over the whole earth. It is well to remember that in Matthew's Gospel, we are told it is for the sake of this elect remnant that the days of the great tribulation are to be shortened. See Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. It is therefore clear that however faint the markings, this fifth sign miracle relates to Israel in the near future. And now our Lord's discourse in John chapter 6, 22-71. Those whom our Lord Jesus Christ had fed miraculously seek him out again the day following. He then takes occasion to discourse to them at length, saying, "The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world," verse 33. Previously he'd said to them, "Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Verse 27. The effect of this solemn discourse on the bread of life was to sort out the unbelievers among our Lord's professed followers. These said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it, then, that he saith, I come down from heaven?" Verse 42. It was one thing to receive our Lord's bounty in the form of bread and fishes. Oh, but quite another to be told, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Verse 53. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Verse 60. No wonder Jesus said, "There are some of you that believe not," in verse 64. And finally, the record states, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 66. Our Lord then challenges the 12 who formed the inner circle of his followers with the question, "Will ye also go away?" To this, Peter, speaking for the others, says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verses 68 and 69. Our Lord then acquaints the 12 disciples with the fact that one of them is a devil, i.e. an adversary. He is, of course, referring to Judas Iscariot, who should betray him, being one of the 12, verse 71. Who knows how near we may be to witnessing the anti-typical fulfilment of the fourth and fifth sign miracles of John's Gospel? How blessed to recall that these events are not merely history, but signs of forthcoming acts of our Lord Jesus Christ prior to his return, which is evidently at hand.